Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so excited that you're here and that you're joining me with this amazing panel of great men. I'm so excited to feature them and to share their wisdom and their expertise and their hearts with you, because I know these men are here to deeply serve the women that are on this event. And I'm really excited about welcoming back a returning guest, back by popular demand, and that is the wonderful Hunt Etheridge. Welcome, Hunt.
Hello, thank you. It's good to be back again.
So happy to have you here again. And ladies, since we saw Hunt last, he's now the father of a beautiful 9-month-old baby girl. Woohoo!
That's great. She's obviously the most gorgeous creature that's ever walked the planet, but it's one of the interesting things looking at her and knowing that I'm going to be the template for all of her future romantic encounters, for better or for worse. It kind of, you know, it's like, okay, all right, going to do this.
Yeah, I bet that's a whole new perspective.
Yeah.
Well, so Hunt, before we get into our conversation today, I want to introduce you a little more formally to our audience. I know many of the women here are familiar with you, but just the same, we'll do a little formal intro and then get right into it. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Hunt Etheridge is an award-winning dating and relationship expert with over a decade of experience helping people become the best, most dateable versions of themselves. And ladies, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. While the focus of his coaching is on making someone empirically more dateable, the lessons learned translate very easily into personal and professional lives. The emphasis is on confidence building, leadership, image and style, conversation skills, reconnecting with fun, and more. I love that reconnecting with fun idea too.
Big.
Yeah, it's big. He has founded 3 dating companies, including the International Dating Coach Association, which serves to educate and certify dating coaches and has members all across the globe. It's been featured collectively and individually on CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, Vanity Fair, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The New York Post, Maxim, The Huffington Post, Telemundo, Yahoo, Shine, and more. He is considered one of the top in his field and is consistently called upon for insight, collaboration, and speaking engagements. As a prolific writer, he has over 100 dating articles all over the web and was recently voted the #1 male dating expert in the country at the 2016 U.S. Dating Awards. And to read some of his advice articles, you can go to huntforadvice.com. So that's a little bit about Hunt. Wow, that's quite a mouthful. We got that out, right?
Yeah. I think I need to like shorten that up a little bit. But, you know, like you say, it's, you want to kind of touch on everything. You want to get into the meat of things. And so it's hard sometimes to just say 1 or 2 things because you want to explain why and what it means and how to do it.
Yeah. So Hunt, I know there's so many things that you can share. You have such a wealth of wisdom for us to tap into, but I want to tap into a few things today. And I want to start with what you mean by, first of all, making someone, as you said in your intro here, empirically more dateable, and how you help people become the best, most dateable versions of themselves. And specifically, I want to talk to women out there. Maybe women that might not be feeling that way. They may not be feeling their most confident selves right now. And yeah. Let's just start there and see where that takes us. Is that all right?
All right. But to the first comment, kind of empirically more dateable, what does that mean, obviously? pardon me, I lost my voice last week, so I'm still recovering a little bit. Basically, dating is a set of skills, like anything else, like sports, like music, anything. And if you don't practice and focus on them, you can't grow them. But the problem is most people look at dating as this one huge skill. Like, I have to get better. You're like, how do you, it's too big for people. So one of the things I try and do is break that down into smaller skill sets. Conversation, flirting, style, dress, conversation, confidence building, all of these different things are separate skills that you can focus on, because you can't focus on everything at the same time, not everything at once. So you focus a little bit on this one, a little bit on this one, then a little on this one, then a little on this one. And as all of these skills come up, the greater umbrella of dating skill grows. And all of those things, one of the things I have to tell my clients a lot, in order for someone to find you interesting, you have to be interested. Meaning you have to be interested in life, in things, in improving yourself. And then you become, so when you have all of these things, when you're getting better at conversation, when you're getting better confidence, when you're getting better at fashion sense, they're going to make you feel better about yourself. And by feeling better about yourself, you've become a person that people want to spend more time with, thus more dateable. So that's kind of how I come at it on that side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked your comment about being interested. And I think that means being interested in life, pursuing your passions. And I also think there's something to be said about being interested in other people. And you're a man, obviously, Hunt. And I mean, I tell my clients, men like women who like them. And you tell me from that doesn't sound like rocket science, but you tell me from a man's perspective, I'm guessing you can tell whether or not a woman likes men in general, or if she's kind of got a bit of a chip on her shoulder about men.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. Obviously, one of the things that I have found that troubles some of my female clients in their late 30s or 40s or even early 50s is that their experiences with men may not be some of their favorite memories. Or rather, let me rephrase that. They're focusing on the bad points of those as opposed to focusing on the good. So when they go out many times, they have walls up. They feel jaded. They might be cynical, have a chip on their shoulder. Especially in New York City, there can be a lot of that going on. Why don't I have anyone? Why does she have somebody? I deserve somebody. Things like that. And someone that shows up to a date with that mentality or that sense hanging over them is really not putting themselves in the best situation to find love. So that's kind of what I say, like turning you into your best self too, because, and that again equates with something that you said later, and that's reconnecting with fun. And that I try to kind of hammer this to all of my clients, but I think a lot of the women need to hear it more so. Dating is supposed to be fun. That definitely doesn't mean it is all of the time. It can be stressful. It can feel like another job. It's time consuming. But at its core, dating is supposed to be fun. And somewhere along the way, a lot of us lose that. So we could be working hard. We could have gone through our own trauma. We could have find ourselves not where we want to be in life and not feeling great about who we are, where we are, any of those sort of things. My clients sometimes don't like to hear about it, but in order to be the best person, the most dateable person, one has to kind of look into oneself and figure out, what I basically say is, would you date you? If you came up to you at a party and was like, hey, I'm Hunt, what did you do last weekend? And you responded, I started The Wire and ordered some pizza. they're going to leave because you have nothing to offer. You are not interested in anything. And if you're not interested in anything, and we can definitely talk about being interested in another person. That's a whole nother realm. But just being interested in anything, like if you did nothing, and hey, come on, I know all of us have Netflix and binging and pizza weekends. But that's not what you want to lead with. People want to see the best selves. Again, not, and also say one of the reasons I say this is because I don't want to turn you into me. I don't want to turn you into what you envision a successful dater to be. I don't want to turn men into pickup artists or women into, you know, whatever they are. I want to take you, find out what's best about you, bring those qualities forward so that it's you and all you just polished up on your best self. So a lot of what I have to coach people to do is have something interesting to talk about at a cocktail party. It's, I guess we'll go back again to that skill set. Anything that is a skill needs time devoted to it in order to improve at it. If I wanted to learn German or the violin, how many hours a week would it take me to become proficient? Dozens. But yet what I consider the most important thing in the world, having someone to share life with, people don't think they need to devote any time whatsoever to it. And in fact, the worst advice out there, and the one that infuriates me the most, is, oh, don't worry, it'll happen. Again, if we equated that, if I wanted to learn the violin, and you just said to me, oh, don't worry, it'll happen, how idiotic that sounds. Of course, it's not going to just happen. But in this particular realm, I know that a lot of us are trying to be supportive of each other, but just saying it's just going to happen out of thin air with no work put into it is misleading and honestly unhelpful. So I say at least put in your Google Calendar just 1 hour in your week sometime and just write dating. And during that hour, devote. It doesn't mean you have to go on a date or go on match.com. It's what can I bring to the conversation the next time I'm meeting someone? How can I better myself that increases my dating skill set? Learn about ornithology. Ask Google to take you to a random web page and learn about something that you've always wanted to. Read a Wikipedia page. It's really not that hard. I mean, one would hope, one would want to become the best you could be. And we all know that the amount of time you put into something, you'll get out of. So I want people to, sometimes I have to coach people to start creating a new social circle, which is extremely difficult, or rather it can seem very daunting and difficult at 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, how do you meet people at that age? One of my wife's best friends in her was one of her bridesmaids. She met her on Craigslist. I call it a straight date. She just posted that she was new in town and looking for friends. And a couple of people responded, and one of them, I'm seeing her this weekend. So it's easy to do if you know that you need to devote some time to it. For instance, you may have a group of friends that are all married or all have kids, and I am in no way advocating to not see them anymore, but if you are serious about trying to find someone to spend your life with, sometimes you need to surround yourself with other people that are looking for the same thing so you can help each other, teach each other to go to new places. The old Einstein's definition of insanity, if you go to the same places and don't change anything, you know, nothing is going to change. So you, to get growth, to get change, you need to consciously rock your boat. But the best and easiest way is to reconnect with fun. When was the last time that any of you listeners out there did something for fun, just for fun's sake? Not because it's going to lead to this, or you like to go on a walking group with your friends or something like that. Chances are it's rarer than it should be, because we just don't have time, we say to ourselves. We don't have time for frivolous endeavors. Well, I've got a house to clean, I've got work to do, I've got lunches to make, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be hard to justify it to yourself that it's important, and it's very important. Again, let's go back to that example. Like, so what did you do this weekend? I watched a lot of Netflix and I got some pizza. Or what did you do this weekend? Oh, you know, I realized I hadn't been seeing my friends a lot. So Saturday morning, I met up with a couple of them for coffee near the park, and we just chatted and have some fun. Later that night, I went home, and my friend had been telling me about this great new show that I should pick up. You know, so I decided I'd sit and watch that. And then on Sunday, it was a nice day, so I decided to get out my old paint set that I used to do, you know, 15 years ago, and just see if I still had any skill sets left. Immediately, the person is intrigued at all of these things they want to follow up and ask about. So not only are you sort of replacing the cynical, jaded energy with new and positive energy, you're also adding to who you are, which makes you more interested in other things, which makes you more interesting. So it solves a lot of things all at once. Just if nothing else, consider it spring cleaning. You know, just flush out some of that just hibernation, bad energy, shake it off, and go just do something frivolous and fun and goofy even to start adding the good energy, having fun things to talk about, and just getting your body used to having fun again.
Yeah. You know, I think this is such a refreshing and great reminder, Hunt, because yes, it's a serious decision about who you want to spend your life with. If you want to be in a committed or marriage type relationship, yes, that's an important and big decision. But I think so often because of that, or because of past hurts or wounds or maybe mistakes, it can be so challenging sometimes to have that lightness and that fun in our lives, and especially in dating. And so we find ourselves,
especially without feeling guilty about it.
Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes we'll find ourselves, I can remember this in my own dating experience before I met my husband, sitting across the table and you've got this chatter going on. Is he the right guy? Does he like me? Do I like him? You can't even relax and enjoy and have fun. And then
you're going to be more tense and just can't get into it.
Yeah. And then piggybacking to what you said about being interesting, which is so important and interested. I can remember interviewing several men over these last few years who have said one of the things that really attracted them to their wife or their girlfriend was that she was lit up. She was lit up because she was excited about life. She was lit up about her passions. And so energetically, she came across as being this vibrant, interesting, happy woman. And who doesn't want to be with someone like that, right?
That's exactly it. I tell even my female clients especially too, like, all right, say your thing that you enjoy is knitting. You know, I cross stitch. I love it. But you love to knit? You're like, there's no guys in my knitting circle. Why would I do this? Because when you're doing something that you like, your body opens up, you relax, your dynamism comes forward, you're smiling, you're having fun. And all of these women have brothers, coworkers, friends, and they're going to tell them, you've got to meet this amazing woman, Amanda, that's in my group. She's so fun and exciting. And I think you guys would really get along. Exactly. Just, and it's because you went somewhere to have fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that that's a really good point. I think for women sometimes, especially those of us that can tend to be a little bit more serious and really focused on our goals and very intentional about the way we live our lives. And I'm that way myself. For me to reconnect with that feminine side of myself, one of the things that really helps me, and this is something I recommend for my clients, is tapping into doing something creative and or something that requires motion. So moving your body, exercising, dancing. For me, I love to make jewelry. You know, I love photography. Those kinds of things help me to tap into that creative, passionate side of me that helps me feel reconnected with my femininity. So I'm not just solely like this, like, you know, I'm growing.
I do the same thing with my masculinity. I love to build with wood. So I'll go down in the basement with my power tools and get after it.
Right. Exactly. So I just think this is a really helpful reminder. Plus, it's just a more joyful way to go through life.
See, that's it. Your worst case scenario is you're having fun.
Right.
Like, really?
Yeah. Not a bad thing.
No. We put so much weight and time and energy on meaningful things, which they should be, that we think frivolity does not equal importance, you know, because or fun is something you do when you have free time. Like, these things add to who you are. These things help clean out your system. These things make you more attractive to everybody that crosses your path.
Yeah, and I think it's also really important to have a sense of humor and to tap into humor. Like, every now and then I'll just watch a movie that just, or something that just makes me laugh. You know, the kind of laughter that makes your stomach hurt.
Yes, I do.
And tapping into that and actually also seeing the humor in dating, sometimes in ourselves and in what's happening, can go a long way toward making it more fun, like we were talking about. Because I can tell you, sometimes even the worst dates, and not all of your dates are going to be terrible, hopefully, but even the worst dates sometimes can be hilarious.
Oh my God, when you get to tell the stories of your worst dates, they're hilarious, and you still added to who you are. So you still exited that better, fuller, more interesting than when you walked in, even if it didn't work out the way you wanted it to.
Exactly. So I want to thank you for this, Hunt. This has been really fun to talk about this so far, and really, really great reminders. And I'm so glad we're tapping into this, because I think it will be helpful to a lot of women. So I want to shift gears a little bit, though, if that's okay, and ask you some of the things that you might share in regards to men. And I know we're speaking about men in general here, but since this is the man panel, and since one of the intentions is to help women know more about men, tap into what's going on in the hearts and minds of men, I just wonder if there are a few things you might be able to share, because I know you give a lot of great advice to both women and men, and that you're really tapped into that.
Yeah. How long do you have? I'm always focusing and studying and thinking about some particular topic at each time. You know, I joke with my wife that I'm the only husband that voluntarily reads relationship books. So it's interesting. Okay. A couple things right now that have come across on the man's side that I find interesting. There's a book called Love and Respect. And in it, they have a study that was done where they asked a couple hundred men whether they would be loved by everyone and respected by no one, or respected by everyone and loved by no one. And 75% of the respondees said respected by everyone and loved by no one. Now, what that means, obviously, is not that men don't want love, but they place so much value on respect. We talk about unconditional love, but we never talk about unconditional respect. And knowing how important it's, those that have had, you know, successful relationships, you'll notice this when you simply thank him for taking out the trash. Thank you. You know, it gets them happy and excited. And you know, that's something that guys don't get as well. As long as I got it here, quick book. Dr. Terry Orbach, I think she's great. And one of the things that she talked about in this book and the studies done is that one of the needs of humans is affirmation. I see you, I respect you, you are there, you exist, you are good, all that kind of stuff. Now, men can become needy sometimes because we, right now, only really get that affirmation as an adult through our significant other. Because men don't walk up to each other and be like, bro, looking good. But a woman, stranger, could walk into a store looking great, and the saleswoman's just like, looking great, girls. Thank you. And her friends tell her she's looking great. And so they get that affirmation. Men don't. So it's just kind of, so one, letting a man know that you respect him can do work wonders. And you say, well, of course I respect him. He knows I respect him. How? You know he loves you because he says he loves you. If you turn to your man and you say, I just want to let you know, thank you so much for all you do to keep this household afloat. Thank you for all you do to keep the garbage from smelling. You know, whatever it is that they do, show that you respect what it is that they do. It sounds silly to you, but you know what sounds silly to us? Talking about shoes, you know? But this is how we communicate as men and women, and we need to find out what it is about men. Another thing about men, when women want to hurt other women viciously, many times the insults are image-based, saying bad things about how they look, because that's a lot of times the soft spot of women. When men want to insult each other, they attack the masculinity of each other, the gender orientation of each other, because the masculinity, if you will, the virility, because that's our soft spot. So when women want to compliment other women, they compliment on that soft spot. Girl, you look fabulous. You look beautiful. I'm not trying to say that it's all shallow, but that's something that makes other women feel good about themselves. Oh, thank you so much. You love it. I got it on sale. It's a new color, you know. So women, knowing that that makes women happy, compliment men the same way they compliment women, but men hold different sets of values than women do. So you tell a guy, I love that shirt. Cool. Of course it's going to be nice. I appreciate that. But that's like saying, I like the color you picked for your walls. All right. Because again, it's not necessarily where we hold value. Where we hold value is, are we big? Are we strong? Are we masculine? Even in our own heads, we don't need to be giants. My wife, every once in a while, she'll just be like, can you and that horse cock come over here and help me for a second? And I know she's kidding. And I don't care. Because, yes, I will. I strut right over there. I know women can carry strong things because you are women and here you roar. And that's cool. But if you sometimes lean to us and like, oh, your muscles are so big and that's just so heavy, can you carry that for me? Well, I would be happy to, because that's what we value. So think about how you're complimenting that person. Are you complimenting them with respect? Are you complimenting them with their virility and masculinity in mind? Those are so, and because men don't necessarily receive these affirmations in their daily life, simple affirmations in the correct way, focusing in the correct area, can do just so much for a guy, because we can be so starved for that in our lives. And if there are any guys listening, affirm each other. Tell some dude that they look good. Why not? You know, it'll help us in our relationship with other women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. If I'm hearing you right, Hunt, just to kind of recap this last piece, a man desires respect and longs for that. And an equivalent of that might be for how a woman desires love. Mm-hmm. And a man feels respected and feels appreciated more, maybe for what he does or what he offers or for what he provides in the life of his woman, even more so than he might appreciate a compliment about his shirt or how he looks. Mm-hmm. So would you say that's an accurate recap, a little of that piece there?
Yes. Yes. You're much better.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to kind of emphasize. And then also, one thing that stood out for me as you were speaking is that I really feel it's really important to speak to the idea that a woman should not go into a relationship with a man thinking she's going to change him. I'd love for you to talk about that for a minute.
There's the old joke that a woman marries a man hoping he'll change, and a man marries a woman hoping she'll never change. I hate the movie Jerry Maguire because he says, "You complete me." You shouldn't be completed with anyone. You shouldn't have fixer-uppers. It doesn't always work out the best way for that. You want people that already are complete. You want people that are, well, let me put it this way. Anything that annoys you now is going to annoy you 10 times more further down the line. Because at the beginning, everyone's kind of sort of in that honeymoon phase and nothing they can do is wrong and it's great. Especially as we get older, we become more and more set in our ways. So going into a relationship thinking, I've had friends that have gone into a relationship with a guy that has had 5 daughters from 4 different women. And she was totally sure that she was going to stop that cycle. And it went exactly as you can imagine it did. Not only does she have a little daughter who's beautiful, but that he had another little daughter at the same time that he was having her daughter. Lost my train of thought. I got on a tangent there.
Well, I think we have to have a what you see is what you get approach.
Yeah.
Comes to men. You're not going to change him.
We're not subtle. We're not very complex. We have less moving parts, if you will. So when a man says something, believe him. You know, don't think, oh, I'll be able to fix that. Because most likely you won't. And it's just going to annoy him. There's another quote that I like, try and teach a pig to sing. It's going to waste your time and annoy the pig, because then you're going to get resentful, and it's creating this negative energy, which is just going to be cyclical, and it's not going to help anybody out. We can enter into relationships hoping to bring out the best in each other. You know, I've changed. My wife has changed. We've helped each other change, but we haven't tried to make each other change. You know, we help each other. She helps me to realize that doing housework makes her look at me sexier. and there's things on the other side too, but yeah, it shouldn't be a project. It shouldn't be, I'm going to fix him up. You know, also many times if you're thinking, oh, except for that, he's great. Well, that might be that.
Mm-hmm.
That has kept him where he is now. So don't look for our subtleties. You know, take us for face value for the most part. And if you can't embrace the faults that we have, then, you know, maybe it's just not the right relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is so important to talk about because I think there's a lot of women out there who sometimes look at men as fixer-upper projects, or he'd be perfect if only, or this would be great, but, well, that might be a really big but, no pun intended there. That might be a really big but that holds the whole relationship back, or could make both people miserable if she goes into it thinking she's going to change that.
Especially if he has no idea. He just doesn't know why she's always mad, and it's unfair to him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because along with that respect piece that we're talking about, Hunt, I think acceptance is a part of that respect. I think a man needs to feel like the woman he's with accepts him, just like you want to be accepted.
If a male fantasy is not a Fabio, Twilight, 50 Shades of Grey, a male fantasy is that a woman will be by our side at our absolute worst. Because in the deepest, darkest part of our soul that is irrational, a lot of times that we think that women are with us because of what we may have, or even how much money we have. It's most not the way it is, but it's one of our fears that if we lose what we have, that we will lose our woman as well. So when you can help assuage that fear and let him know that you will be by his side, ride or die forever, no matter what happens, that makes us feel like we know where our place is and lessens that fear.
Wow. You know, that was really, I'm so glad you said that. A male's fantasy is that a woman will be with us even at our worst. That kind of gave me the goosebumps, I have to tell you, because I don't know if a lot of women really recognize or realize that, or the vulnerability that men have emotionally with a woman that they're really attached to.
Yep. 100%. 100%. We, especially if the man feels like he got lucky, you know, got out of his league or something like that, he's just terrified that if whatever she came into lessens, then he will lose her. So part of it's each has to work on their own selves, but it can help the man if he knows that you are going to be with him at his worst and that it's not what he has or where he lives or his social circle that is keeping you with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really, really, that was really beautiful. It really touched me to have you say that. I just thought that was really well said, and I loved that you shared the male fantasy, because I think sometimes women are convinced that all men are looking for is youth and beauty and looks, and sure, there's physical attraction, but it goes beyond that, right?
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Having, you know, everyone just wants somebody at their side, riding shotgun on their life, helping them out, and get to cry and laugh with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we've touched on this a little bit, but I want to ask you this question directly before we kind of wrap up, Hunt. And that is, there's a perception that relationships are a lot more important to women than to men. I mean, you don't see a lot of women panels where men are all gathered together listening to learn all about women. And I know that there's a difference in the way that we tend to interact. You've already touched on that to some extent, but tell me, I mean, from a man who's in a relationship, in a marriage, has a daughter, obviously has given advice to a lot of people, and obviously has his own dating experiences, what's your perspective on that?
Men are vulnerable and don't know how to open up because we're taught that from a young age. According to my friends that are teachers in kindergarten, first grade, the boys are always the one that are more emotive, more expressive, until about first grade when they start receiving expert feedback from their compatriots about what it means to be a man. And so it's, we do want those things, but we don't know how to go about asking for them, and two, they're not offered. Just a quick anecdote, I live in Jersey City, right outside New York City, and I put out on Reddit if anybody was interested in joining a dad's group. And you know how tough it is to get a bunch of strange dudes together? I had 20 guys and their babies all show up because there's this need to connect with each other and to be vulnerable that we don't know how to do, we don't know how to organize, we don't know how to find each other. So we do want those things kind of, if there were ways for guys to sit around and watch someone that they trust talk about this, they absolutely would want to, because women are way more complex in our eyes than we are. But women have a lot more resources, I think, than men do in this area. So we are retarded. Our growth has been retarded in learning about emotional intelligence, about learning how to have that relationship IQ. So we, you may think that women value it more. It's just that they're more expressive and outspoken about it, I think.
Well, and I think this brings up the point of, wherever possible, have some compassion and kindness in dating. I think that needs to be said, because I think overall in our society, there's so much, you know, anger and frustration, you know, whether it be in politics or whatever, that interactions, just normal everyday human interactions, can become kind of coarse. And I just feel like in dating, even if a guy's not your guy or a woman's not your woman, if you can leave that person so that they're not so wounded by that interaction, that they would be available for someone that would be a better match for them, what a great service we'd be doing for each other.
We're all just sending out little positive ripples like that. We're all going to end up helping each other out. I mean, that's the way I go through life. And I try to teach that when I can as well, too. Because you never know who's behind you, who's going to see something, who's going to hear something, who's a friend of a friend. So you just, and I've had that stuff circle around back to me in ways years later that I could never have predicted. So that's another, you know, we can't go into it now, but another thing that I study is the science of happiness, how to be happy. It's, you know, you can force yourself, you can train yourself to be happy. But that, again, there's so much that we can work on here. I just feel like we never have enough time.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I really love the things that we've been able to cover and the things you've shared. And you're always so generous, Hunt, and I really appreciate you being willing to share your wisdom and dance with me on these events. And I know the ladies love hearing from you. So thank you so much for being with us again.
Absolutely. I love it. If I can make the world a little bit of a better place, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah. And ladies, I want to let you know that Hunt, if you want to read Hunt's articles or learn more about Hunt, be sure to visit his website, which is huntforadvice.com. And the link is right underneath the audio or video that you're watching or listening from. And also be sure and check out the VIP package to upgrade and have all of the interviews in your library, as well as some incredibly valuable bonuses. And Hunt and I are so happy you've joined us, and we're both sending you lots of love and wishing you well and hoping you find lots of joy, not only in meeting and attracting love, but in your life. Go out there and live joyfully and have some fun. That's where we want to leave it, right, Hunt?
Absolutely. Have some fun.
All right. Well, Hunt, thanks again for joining us. And ladies, bye-bye for now. And we'll see you for more of the Man Panel.